to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, November 7th, 2021, by Eric Williams. It is so wonderful to see all of you this morning. Some of you are here because it's 10 o'clock on Sunday and it's time for church. Others are here because of Marge, whose funeral will take place right after this service. Marge has been on my mind a lot. Today was supposed to be her 100th birthday. Today is actually her 100th birthday, but now we're celebrating instead her birth into eternal life in heaven, and that's something to be celebrated, something to be joyful about in the midst of our sorrow at not seeing our friend. As I was previewing the lovely slideshow that Marge's family put together, I realized something I hadn't really known, that Marge was a widow for a long time, decades, right? It was the 80s? Yeah, so almost just about 40 years of being a widow. That's pretty amazing. Widows in our culture have a lot of things to work through. You know, it's challenging to lose the financial support of a husband, challenging to renegotiate life as a single person. If you're a widow, you know that. Almost all of us have widows in our families or in our friend groups. I was thinking of my great aunt, who was the first widow I was very close to, she and my grandmother. My great aunt, whose name was also Marguerite, who was also a pretty tough old lady. My great aunt grew up on a farm. I just learned it, that Marge was born in a boxcar. So, you know, this is tough stock that some of these women came from. My great aunt, who grew up in a family, her dad was one of those people where the Canadian government would give you land if you would agree to clear it and farm it. It was a land grant program, and so he did that. And he was really hoping that, being a good Catholic, they would have a big family with lots of strong guys to help him out with the farm work. But instead, he got three daughters, the oldest of whom, my grandmother, was sickly and could do really none of the physical work. The youngest was too young, and so it was my great aunt Marguerite, who, when he would come down to breakfast, he'd say, "I need a man today." She knew she was up. She was the man. She had to go and help with the hunting and the trapping and all of the chores. She also was a widow for decades in her life in Buffalo, New York, after she had come there and married my great uncle. He died pretty young, and she had to navigate. And I watched how she managed life as a single person. She grew up in a time when she never learned to drive, when her husband took care of all of the finances. She had to start her life completely over as a widow. It was almost like a whole new life. It took a lot of grit and determination, and through it she showed a lot of grace. And I certainly saw that in Marge Gerstenlauer as well. Why do I say all this? I say this because our scriptures today are full of widows. We conclude today the story of Ruth and Naomi that we've been reading on Sundays. Naomi, who was from Bethlehem, who was Jewish, but had left her homeland to marry a Moabite, a Gentile, from far away. And they had two sons, and the two sons married Moabite women, one of whom was Ruth and the other was Orpah. And then a famine and disease came to the land and tragedy. Naomi lost her husband, but worse, she lost her two sons as well. Suddenly, all three women were thrust into widowhood in a time when to be a widow was to have nothing. Their whole means of support was a husband or a son. To lose a husband was bad, but to lose a husband and both sons was cataclysmic, especially in a time of famine. And so they didn't know what to do. Naomi kind of threw a Hail Mary pass and decided to come back to Bethlehem, and maybe a kinsperson, a kinsman, would take them in and provide for them, and maybe for her, but not for these Moabite women. So Orpah went back to her family, but Ruth, out of love, clung to her mother-in-law. One of the great stories in the Bible. She follows Naomi back to Bethlehem, and they meet up with Naomi's kinsman, Boaz. Now, we got younger people here, so I won't go into the PG-13 or R-rated nature of this story, but there is a little bit of that in there, because Ruth and Boaz end up getting married. And out of their union, not only is Ruth protected by Boaz, becomes part of his family, but they have children, which is the blessing. Naomi becomes the nurse for this new child, and their grandchild ends up being King David himself. It's a wonderful story. And it lifts up these two women, Ruth and Naomi, whose faithfulness, whose love for each other, and whose willingness to risk all in search of a better life, the Bible tells us is exemplary. I thought about them, of course, when I read our gospel today. Widows had it just as bad in Jesus' time as they had in Ruth's time. Widows were supposed to be cared for by their family, but if there was no family, the temple was supposed to take care of them. The scribes in particular were charged with caring for widows. But most scribes, according to Jesus, were not caring for the widows. They were devouring their houses. They were bleeding them dry. They were leaving them worse off than they had been before. One such widow comes up to the treasury. Many rich people have been coming to make their donations. I find this pretty funny that on our pledge in Gathering Sunday, we're talking about bringing offerings to the temple, but they were bringing offerings, and some of them were doing it very ostentatiously. Look at this big bag of money that I am now putting into the temple treasury. What a good person I am, one after another. And then an invisible person comes, this poor widow. Nobody else pays any attention to her. She is a non-person in that society. She is worthless, of no account. But Jesus notices her, and he calls the disciples, and he says, pay attention to this woman, because she, even though she's only putting in a copper coin, which is worth 2 cents, not worth anything, her gift is worth more than all the rest of them put together, because her gift is all she has. That widow had nothing materially, but she had amazing faith. Faith enough to risk all on her relationship with God. And so Jesus notices this unnoticeable person and lifts her up to be of great value. All three of our widows in the scriptures today are examples for us, because they show us the pattern of God's kingdom, that what is of little or no account according to the standards of the world, things that are nothing, are exalted by God, lifted up, redeemed, blessed. Those who are nobodies become the disciples, right? A poor child born in the middle of nowhere in Galilee becomes the Savior of the world. God is constantly turning the values of this world upside down, and it gives us both hope and a challenge. Hope that our lives, which often to us seem like they're not worth much, we're not accomplishing the great things maybe we hope for, maybe we don't feel like we're measuring up to the Joneses next door or in the next neighborhood, God tells us that our lives are immensely valuable because we are made in God's image, called to live lives of courage like Ruth and Naomi, of generosity like the poor widow, lives that God will take and bless and multiply in ways that we can't imagine. Did Ruth know when she followed Naomi that one of her descendants would be the king of Israel? She had no idea. Did she know that that king of Israel would one day be the ancestor of the Savior of the whole world? No, she had no idea. All she could do was live by faith with the task that was put in front of her. And that's, our challenge as well, to live lives that are as faithful in the midst of our challenges as we possibly can be. And I think there's a challenge for the church as well, or clergy who like to dress in fancy robes and have the nice seats in the synagogue and places of honor at banquets, to not be so concerned with the trappings of authority and privilege. And for churches to be aware that the gifts which people give are not measured by amount, but by faithfulness. And to be careful that our eyes are always on noticing and dignifying and celebrating the unseen people of this world, the poor widows who need our help, that our eyes might be open to see those who are most vulnerable and be oriented towards caring for them. That's how we'll be judged in the end, not by how much stuff we have or whether we had the right answer to theological quizzes, but it will be how loving and faithful our lives can be. So we celebrate today widows. We celebrate Marge. We celebrate the widows in our lives. We celebrate those invisible people, widows or not, through whom God is accomplishing incredible feats for the kingdom of God. May we see them, may we love them, may we follow their example, and in doing so, may we grow closer to the heart of the God who loves us and calls us to love one another.